And against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Look at the person beside you and say, that's heavy. That's really heavy. This is not like, this is Paul, very serious. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God, one of the most heavy verses you'll ever find in Scripture is right here. Wherefore God also gave them up. I want to tell you right now, when God gives up on you, you're in trouble. God in his long suffering, God in his kindness, God in his grace, I want to serve notice to you, even God's long suffering comes to an end. And when God gives up, God gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. That I want you to get that. God gave them up to vile affections. You can go ahead and be seated. I can preach right here. I'll finish reading this in just a second. God gave them up to vile affections. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I feel this way about this person. I have no doubt that it's affection. I have no doubt that people can love each other, but that doesn't mean that it's righteous love. There is affection, but there is vile affection. He said God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the man leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. This list goes on and on and on. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'm glad you're here today, because I want to talk about the love of God. I don't want to dwell on the wrath too long, but I want to talk about the love of God, because it's very easy to work my way through this scripture, scare you half to death, have you believing that God is a hateful being that's ready to squash you at every mistake. But as you read through here, I see the love of God all through these passages. And if we're not careful, Sam, we'll miss them. Because God is a God that pursues. God is a God. Christianity is the only religion where it's not man searching for God, but it's God searching for man. Every religion you come across is God, is man trying to find a way to get to God. If you are any religion, I'm going to tell you how you find God. But in Christianity, the Bible says he came to seek and save that which was lost. It wasn't me searching for him. It was him searching for me. God is a pursuer. He pursued me when I did not even want any part of him. Can I get a witness? When I was dead in my trespasses and sins, that's where Jesus found me. The song said, when I could not go to where he was, he came to me. Aren't you glad that you serve a Savior? That when you were polluted in your own blood and you were dead, he passed by. And when he came by, he looked at you and he said, live. When you couldn't live, he gave you life. That's love. That's grace. That's mercy. God is a God of love. And you caught his eye. Anybody ever caught your eye? Tell you what happens when somebody catches your eye. Let me do it like this. Let me tell you what happens when a girl catches a young guy's eye. He acts different. He walks different. He talks different when he's around her. You can have a buddy that when he gets around a girl that's caught his eye, you're like, who in the world are you? I love going to the mall with Tracy for one reason. She don't make me go in all the stores with her. She's like, you can sit out here. And I sit out there with the old guys. And we sit on benches. And I love watching young guys. I love watching them walk. I love watching. They're trying to come into their own. They don't even know. They don't have man strength. It's different, boys. It's just different. All the nerves are working in their hand. They ain't beat it out of them yet. You know, they can feel every little blow of the hammer. When you got man strength, you can just hit the thing and you don't even know it's hurting. And I watch them and they walk. I don't care if their arms are that big around. They walk. And you know, in their mind, and some of you guys can say amen, they're thinking, there is nobody in this mall that can take me down. And it's interesting when the girl catches their eye and they begin to pursue them. You old guys, it's different now. It's different. I've heard stories these old preachers preach about the girl caught their eye and they didn't want them. And they kept pursuing and they kept pursuing and they kept pursuing until they finally got them. You get arrested now for stuff like that. They're like, I stood outside her window. Jason, if some guy is standing outside the window wanting to talk to your daughter, how's that going to go with you? He's going to at least get hit with a BB gun. God is a pursuer. Oh, when she catches her eye, come here, Tracy, can I borrow you a minute? Can you believe she married me? She caught my eye. And when they catch your eye, man, you put on the dog. For you young people that don't know what that means, that means that, man, you really play it up. Let me tell you what God does when he pursues us. He pursues us with grace and with love. There is nothing in you that makes him pursue you. It's what's in him that makes him pursue you. Listen, God is love. God is love. I fell in love with her. God didn't fall in love with you. God is love. So because God is love, he pursues you as his bride. Oh, come on, people. How many times did God call you before you finally came? How many times did he deal with your heart until you finally surrendered? How many people, more than one, raise your hand. More than two, raise your hand. More than three, raise your hand. More than four, raise your hand. He came in his love and he pursued, and then came the moment of decision when he asked the question. And oh man, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's nerve-wracking to build up the nerve to ask the question. He said, and I remember sitting on Brother Eddie's couch. I remember knowing he fought in Vietnam. Knowing he had weapons. Knowing I heard him say some things that made me wonder. And I'm sitting on the couch just, I'm trying to build up my nerve. Tracy looks at me and says, "Do you have butterflies?" I said, "I got bats." And I remember the first night that I tried, I never could get it out. I just left. Forget it. That's old fashioned anyway. No, I got to go back. I got to go back. And I said, "Eddie, is it all right if I marry Tracy?" Yeah. And he's got this deep voice. And I was like, "Oh, Jesus, help me." "Yeah, when she turns 18, you can." I was like, "That's kind of, yeah. I mean, eventually she'll be 18, right?" I just want to go ahead and give you all a disclaimer. He signed papers. She was 17. He loves me. When he pursues, there comes the moment of choice. Listen really close. When a man pursues a woman, and I don't know if y'all have seen the videos or not, but man, I find them hilarious. When the guy sets up the proposal, let's do it now. He kneels down and he gets ready and he says, "Will you marry me?" "But I've got a lot of stuff I can give you and I love you. Will you marry me?"
"No."
And man, we find it funny. Maybe y'all don't. Maybe y'all don't. But when the guy goes, "Does anybody else say I don't feel like a psycho?" Raise your hand if you find that funny. When the girl goes, no, and she's scared to death. Have you ever seen them? They're out there. Check them out. Proposal's gone wrong. "Will you marry me?" No. And they run away. And I thought about that, but how many times does God pursue? How many times does God in his love pursue? How many times does he show them his love and show them his grace? And he says, "Will you be my bride?" And they say,
"No."
No. They say no. Let me tell you this. It's one thing to say no to some man. It's a different thing altogether to say no to God. It's a different thing altogether when God in his grace, Randy, and God in his mercy, and God in his pursuit, when he done all that he could do as he hung on Calvary's tree, we ask him, "How much do you love me?" He put out his arms and he showed me. We call it crucifixion. He calls it proposal. "Will you marry me?"
"No."
The words come back, "No." In the pursuit, it's no. And it sounds so humorous now, but let me tell you what is so scary is when people come and sit in a church service and the Spirit draws them with love and conviction and kindness and they say no. "I'm going to give you another chance. Will you marry me?"
"No."
There comes this moment. If I really do love her, listen really close, there comes this moment, if I really do love her, I'm going to let her go. I could beat her into submission. I really could. I could inflict pain on her and say you love me. Say you love me. With enough of that, eventually, she would say the words with her lips, but her heart would be far from it. So if you're pursuing and love's a choice, love is a choice. If love's not a choice, it's not love. I can't make her love me even though I love her. She has said no over and over and over. I love her enough, I'll try again. And I'll try again, and I'll try again. The problem is, there's somebody else. There's something else. There's something else that she deems more worthy than me. There's something else. This is the problem in Romans chapter 1. Thank you. The problem is, he showed him his love. Don't miss it. Don't miss the power in the verses. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. He showed them his kindness. He has shown us his love. He has shown us his compassion. What a God we serve. How many times did we reject him, but he kept coming back again and again because he knew that he was what we needed. I'm going to show you my love. I'm going to show you my power. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you how awesome I really am. Y'all know, I say this, God is a jealous God. God's jealous. You know why he's jealous? Because he has every right to be. If Tracy came home one day and looked at me and said, I found somebody better. They're more kind to me. They're more fit than you. He has beautiful locks. He's so sweet. He's so wonderful. He doesn't get mad at me like you do. He doesn't struggle with me. He understands me. That part would be hard for any guy to believe. But if she told me that, there are points in there that I could say, I could see it. I could see it. I'm flawed. I could see it. I could see it. But I can't see a person going to God and saying, I'm sorry, but I found something better than you. You know why God's jealous? Because there is nobody greater than he is. You know why God's jealous? Because there is no power like his power. You know why God gets jealous? Because there is no love like his love. You know why God gets jealous? Because nobody would pay the price for you that he paid for you. Hey, man, listen to this. The man will lay down his life for his friend. Man, when you was in a mess, when you were in sin, that's when Christ laid down his life for you. He didn't buy you with corruptible things. He paid for you with his own blood. That's why he gets jealous. God, I found something better. No, you didn't. There is no better. It don't get any better than God. I've shown you how great I am. I've shown you my love. I've shown you my power. I've shown it to you. You've seen it. Even through the invisible things, I've made it clear. The invisible things of me are made clear by creation. The man may send flowers. He can send cards. He can send notes. But love is a choice. Man, let me tell you something about our God. He created flowers. He wrote us notes. He's shown his love. But love is a choice. Oh, preach on, preacher. I think I will. God's a God of love. He cares about you more than you care about yourself. And he calls. And he calls. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. How do you glorify God as God? How can you know him and not glorify him? Thank you, Sam. It's a scary day when we can get more excited about our kids' team than we can the one that died for our sins. And you look at me and say, I'm not emotional in my worship, but we get emotional about everything else. Christianity is not emotional. It begins with godly sorrow, and sorrow is an emotion. You came to Jesus through an emotion. So excuse me if I get emotional about the one that died for me, spread his arms out and took the nails for me and wore a crown of thorns for me. Excuse me if when it's time to raise my hands to him, I got to say, thank you, Jesus, because I know where I was headed and I know where I'm going now. I know it. And it's because of him. He said they glorified him not as God. Roger, we're living in a society that is turning its back on God at a rapid pace. I want to let you know real quick. Fox News reported the other day, and I don't care if you listen to them or not. I'm just telling you. I'm getting on your wheelhouse. Newsmax, the truth, I don't care. They're all in it for the money anyway. They reported that this anti-terror group received money from the Biden administration. They listed the GOP as anti-terror, or as a terror group, and the anti-terror group was there. They listed Christians as terror groups. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I got excited. I said, they are listing Christians as terror groups. We ought to be. We ought to be. Every time we get up in the morning, hell ought to be in terror. Every time we raise our hands in worship, hell ought to be in terror. Every time, hey, they you listen to me. Is that, so I declare war on the enemy and everything he stands for. And I want to let you know, I've got one on my side who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or even think by the power that works in me. It's time to go to war with hell. Hashtag storm the gates. Amen. What are we waiting on? No, what? Oh, I feel preachy now. Well, I tell you, brother, it's just a horrible thing that's been going on. What are you doing about it? Well, you know, I fuss about it. You ought to see my neighbors. You ought to see my neighbors. I tell you what, shoo. Why don't you get fed up and jump across the fence? Give them the gospel in love. Show them the love of the Savior and see if they're willing to submit to that. And you might just lead him to Jesus. Well, I tell you, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Not if I can help it. Why are you naming that and claiming it? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he proposed to me and I said, yeah. I'm like some of y'all. It took me a while. He said, Damon, come on. I'm having a time of my life. I wasn't. We thought it was good times. That ain't good times. Can I get an amen? He showed them. I told you it might turn into a long one. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. God changed, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into images. God gave them up to uncleanness. Listen to me really closely. After he reveals it, after he shows it, after he proposes time and time again, Because God is love, he will not force anyone into his presence. Man, I hope you're getting this. Because if you're going into the presence of God, you're going there by choice. Oh, let me say that again. If you go into the presence of God, it's by choice. How was worship today? Not really good. They sang new songs. I really didn't know them. Wasn't that great? Did you feel the presence of God? Not really. Wasn't that good? I don't know what Ian's problem was. He usually plays louder. It's a little too soft for me. I like it thumping. I just really didn't feel the bass today. If you go into the presence of God, it's by choice. They could be singing Mama Needs No Marker. You ever heard that song? Nobody ever heard that song? It's old. Old. I don't even know why they wrote it. But they used to sing in the church where I went to. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to get into the presence of God, I don't care what they're singing. You can get in there by your own choice. Now, here what's cool. Man, they make it easy to walk right in. Don't they? Everybody's like, no, not today. If you get into the presence of God, it's by choice. A pastor used to sing a song that said, you can't help me. Don't try to stop me. Get out of my way. Don't try to block me. Get out of my way, man. If you're not getting in the presence of God, I don't know what you're here for. You may be here because somebody asked you to meet him here and y'all going to do something at the church. I love you, but I come here for one reason. That's to get into the presence of God, get fed by his word, because when I walk out of here, I'm going to war with hell and I want to have his presence with me. Woo! You got to make up your mind. Because there's going to come a time when God says, listen to me really careful. If you're here today and you're lost, you came to the right day. If you're here and you're indifferent about your walk with Jesus, you're here at the right day. Because he's calling. He's calling and calling and calling. But as sure as he's calling, there's going to come a day he stops. And when he stops, the reason he stops is not because he hates you. God don't punish you. God chastises you. Why does he do that? Because you're his son. If he don't chastise you, you're not his. Oh, are you listening to me? Oh, listen, you better listen. You better listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Because when God gets serious, we got to get serious. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Here we go. He's called. Darren, he's going to stop. He's going to stop calling. When he stops calling, I don't care if you do show up, the groom is gone. There were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They knew he was coming. They just didn't know when. The 5 that were wise were ready. They had the oil. They had the wicks trimmed. They were ready. Eddie, then came the moment that he comes through. It's time. It's time to meet the bridegroom. The foolish say, give us some oil. What do they say? No. I'm sorry. I love you, but it's too late. Oh, are you hearing me? There's coming a day. It's going to be too late. If you're going to answer the call of God, you need to answer it now. Because if God gives you over, you're done. What in this world has your attention that's greater than the call of God? Heaven and earth is going to pass away. It's all going to be destroyed. He's giving you something eternal. What is out there that is worth more than him. But because he loves you and he won't beat you into submission, he will let you go. What a king. What a savior. Come on, musicians. Before they play a note, do you need to pray? Without any kind of theatrics, is God dealing with your heart right now where you need to pray? You may not be lost. You may be in a place where God has called you to do something over and over and over, and you haven't yielded to it yet. You need to repent and get on track. Would you come to this altar and pray today? Is God calling you? Is God dealing with you right now before they ever hit a note? If God's calling, will you be the first one to say, that's me, that's me, that's me. I know I did not preach this today in vain. I know he's dealing with somebody right now without any miss. I know the truth of God's word. Would you answer that call right now? Would you stand up? And would you say, God's dealing with me. God, in his, he's at my door. He's knocking right now. He's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking on my door. He's saying, come out. Come on. Let me in. I want to come in and sup with you. I want to sup with you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else as he prays? Is there anybody else? Are you where you need to be? Are you right with him? Are you in the right place? Are you in the right standing? Are you there? If not, step out, step out, step out, step out. Somebody will pray with you. You're not alone. The altar's not a place of shame. It's a place of power. He's called you, and he's called you, and he's called you, and he's called you. If you don't answer, there comes a day he stops, because God is love. He says, if that's what you want, if that's what you want, I'll let you go do what you want. But it's going to end in your destruction. It's going to end in your destruction. If that's what you want, if that's what you want. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, surely the Lord is in this place. Would you help me pray, church? If you're saved, would you help me pray? God, I don't want to hold your truth in unrighteousness. I've been raised around Christian people my whole life. I've heard the word. I've heard it given. I've heard the promises. I've heard it. I've heard it. I don't want to know the truth and go to hell from a place where I know who you are. I just don't know you. I'm going to walk out of here lighter than I walked in here. Could you lay it at the altar today? Could you step out and just lay it at the altar? It's your soul. It's your choice. Do you hear him? Do you hear him knocking? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you submit? Would you surrender?